Destination is Palermo.
The destination is always calcio.
Yo, Poyampalo, thank you so much for joining us here. It's a pleasure. Palermo, becoming a legend now. You've been around Italy for a while, and now you're in Sicily. They call you the Leone di Sicilia and Uvi Kingo. Tell us a little about not just your nicknames here, but also about the actual origins of your name, because I've looked it up. I've Googled what it means in English. But tell us about the...
I hope that Google is correct. But yeah, obviously, there's been a lot of nicknames throughout my career, not only here in Italy, but also back in the days in Germany and also in Finland. But of course, I'm always happy to take any of the nicknames that the fans they give me. It's obviously always an honor when the fans they come with the nicknames.
Well, they're nicknaming you because they see you as a leader.
Yeah, it's always a special thing, obviously. And of course, as a striker, it's a little bit more easier than maybe for a left defender. But in the end of the day, when it comes to my surname, obviously it comes from the old Finland, and it means the Northern Lights or the Aurora. Wow, so okay. That's where the name is translated to.
And they've been calling you the Fuoco del Nord, the Fire of the North in Italy for a while as well. So you've earned a reputation and you're scoring all the goals. It's great to see. And the city of Palermo has welcomed you with open arms. We saw your arrival here. They turned out in big numbers at the Renzo Barbera. How are you feeling? Do you feel at home here?
No, it feels like home, obviously. It's of course, it's been now maybe 7-8 months, but it feels like home, obviously. It's the welcome that the fans gave me in the stadium, and from the first day on at the stadium, of course, it's been incredible, and I hope I can give them some great emotions and some great results at the stadium.
Created that bond with them now because, you know, seeing you as their big goal scorer, the big leader, you're out there winning matches when it counts the most. We saw you're another big and energetic start to the season. When you got here, you repaid them with 9 goals in the first 9 matches. Now it's 3-3 already in this season. And it's, I guess, something that where you want to connect with the fans. Is that how you repay them? I know that you dedicated some of your goals on the weekend to them.
Yeah, of course, it's a long distance from here to all the way to Bolzano. And obviously having such a huge crowd in front of you, obviously you have to somehow pay them back. Of course, the result is always the number one thing. But as a striker, when you enter the pitch, you always want to score. In the end of the day, that's your job to do for the team. And luckily got to a few good balls, and I managed to get 2 goals and a 2-0 victory. In Bolzano, and now it's as you said, it's been a very good start for the team, and probably actually I think the best start for me myself as well in it ever since I came to Italy. So I hope I can continue on this path and do a lot of goals and get a lot of victories for Palermo, and then in the end of the day, you never know where you end up.
Yeah, and to play away in those stadiums like the Druso in Bolzano. To have that support there, the away support, does it give you another level, another lift when you play there?
Yeah, obviously, I would say there was almost more Palermo fans than Südtirol fans, and it feels in somehow almost like a home game. But as you said, obviously, it's a long travel, and Südtirol was the first loss for them this calendar year, and it shows that how difficult it is in Serie B to win away, and all those points they are very important for our objective.
Yeah, and it's been a great start for Palermo. The ambitions for this season, there seems to be a different mood around the city. Everyone's walking with a bit more pep in their step. The fans, do you feel that?
Yeah, you can see that there's a huge expectations for the whole team and what the objective is for this season. Of course, obviously, it is very early of the season. The start is very good, but you can very easily lose also the momentum, and it comes for the everyday job that we do on the pitch, and work day by day and game by game, and then in March we can see where we are standing. But of course, as Palermo, we see the aim is always to be as high as possible in the table.
Sure, and I guess promotion is a dream that's in the minds of everyone around the city, not just the players and the staff here at the Palermo City Football Academy where we are in Torretta. And coming to a big club like Palermo, I know that you've mentioned that you know how big the history is here. I want to just test you a little bit on maybe 11 of the best players to see where you rank them. I'll give you a few names. Is that okay?
11 players.
11 players, but no present players included. You're not on the list and no one else in the current Palermo team. But just to, because Palermo fans, they love they still feel connected to the past. They're obviously mm-hmm. connected to now as well. They want to see the club return to mm-hmm. the glory days of fifth place. They want to smell Europe again. You know, they there's that saying in Sicily where, you know, you sometimes you eat with your eyes. Your eyes are bigger than the plate, but they want that dream coming. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you a few players just to you can choose one or the other. It's a winner stays on.
Okay.
Abel Hernandez or Andrea Caracciolo?
I would say Hernandez.
Great player. Hernandez or Belotti?
I would still say Hernandez.
Hernandez or Gilardino?
Gilardino.
Gilardino or Amauri?
Gilardino.
Gilardino. Okay, we're not going to do a striker here. Iličić is a legend here as well.
Yeah, another guy. I will pick him over Gilardino.
Iličić or Pastore?
Just met Pastore here when we played against City. So I would say a nice guy as well. Not just a great player on the pitch and a great career. I would say Pastore.
There's a lot of nice guys in Calcio these days. So Pastore or Dybala?
Ah, Dybala.
Hands down. That was unequivocal. Dybala or Luca Toni?
That's a difficult one.
As a
striker, I would like to say Luca Toni, but I still have to say as a football player, I do rate Dybala even higher. Just his ability to make other players better.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess you'd love to play next to him at one point. But, okay, Dybala or Cavani?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I would still go for Dybala.
Okay, and one last one. He's an absolute club legend. It's Dybala or Miccoli?
See Miccoli in the stadium? Obviously, I have to pick him, obviously. He's a legend for the club, and obviously, he's the number one top scorer for the club.
Yeah.
Still now. Hopefully, Mata can go in front of him this season. I think that's the job for
he's
all of us.
He's not far away, yeah.
He's not far away, but obviously, if you're number one top scorer for the club,
few assists
in club history, then you have to be the credit spell also for the club.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I said no current players were on the list, so fair enough. That's a good point that you raised there. But speaking of legends, you're now here under a new manager. Mr. Filippo Inzaghi is here. Now, being a striker, do you get any tips from him? Does he pull you aside and try to tell you where to be standing, or is he let you have creative life?
Till now, not that much, obviously. As you said, he just arrived for this season. Obviously, there's a lot of work to do as a team. And I always think at the moment, the main job we have to do is that there's those small things that we have to improve as a group. And I think he trusts my experience as well. I'm 31 years old. Not as a great career as he had, but still, I know where to stand and where to score. And but of course, there's always been those small moments in the training or the small things that he tells you where to run and where to stand, but not particularly that, let's say, this one against one times that you probably are asking for. But of course, he's a great striker. And as a Liverpool fan, I really well know that from those two Champions League finals that they played against each other.
Yeah.
But obviously, he's a great coach, a great personality. And obviously, I'm very happy as a striker to have him as a coach.
Yeah, I think a lot of Blemo fans are happy to see him here and yourself as well. And it's a point in history where both of you are here. He's taken clubs from Serie B to Serie A before. You've taken a club from Serie B to Serie A. And I guess that's something that Palermo fans will be hoping for this season again. And again, you've already mentioned you have to wait until March, but that is the ambition this season.
Yeah, Luis, I think that's a dream for all the clubs in Serie B, especially the big ones. And as I said, it comes to the everyday job. And at the moment, the momentum is very good for us. And now it's time to push even further and try to get those important points from week to week.
And there's so much reason for Palermo fans, not just here, but around the world, to be excited. And that's something we're looking forward to showing. We've already been showing you goals and your games on Destination Calcio TV this season. So lots of reason to be optimistic for them as well. Let's talk about Finland, because not too many Italians and a lot of people living in the UK and the US don't know too much about it. You've already mentioned that you've got a nickname here, Uwe Kingu, but are there any Vikings in Finland?
To be fair, probably there was a few, but let's say that we are not known for that. It was mostly, obviously, Norway, Denmark and Sweden, and Finland was a bit too far away for them. But for sure, let's say that they came and raided yeah. in,
in those times.
They've been around, they've been everywhere, including here in Palermo. And I guess that's the connection a lot of Palermitani will be making, because back in the days, obviously the Normans and everyone coming through, and there's so much to see around Palermo as well. So we always try to tell people to come here, get to these destinations and watch games, see a bit of culture. Is there somewhere you would recommend for people that want to come here, watch a game? Maybe if they came for 2 or 3 days, what should they do? Should they go see the Palazzi? What should they do?
Yeah, of course. I think that the city center is always a nice place to see it. So you can see all the cultures that have been coming here throughout the times. And if you want to go a little bit more further from Palermo away, then Cefalo is always a beautiful destination to go for more relaxed times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the granita here is sensational as well. Have you tried the Sicilian granita?
Yeah, of course.
What's your favorite flavor?
Wow.
I mean, I go for pistachio and chocolate. That's my go-to, with a bit of lime in the middle. But some people.
No, I have to say also pistachio is mine.
Yeah, yeah. I can't blame you. We're aligned there. Let's go with Finland and Italy share some characteristics. A lot of regions. Obviously, it's a lot lower the population in Helsinki, for example, where you started your career. You're from Helsinki as well?
Yeah, of course. I am from Helsinki. To be fair, in Helsinki, obviously, is by far the biggest city. We are the capital. It has more than 500,000 inhabitants. And obviously, the metropolitan area is by far the biggest, with more than 1.5 million people. And so you do see a lot of people. It's not that small that people think. It's just very concentrated in that area. But obviously, in some sort of way, sometimes I miss the times in Finland. Obviously, I left when I was very young, when I was 18 years old, to play in Germany. And especially at times when sometimes it gets very hot in here, especially in the preseason. It would be nice to have a little bit colder days, but this is, of course, it has this.
But the weather, would you trade the Sicilian weather for Helsinki? And for...
No, I would not. Obviously, can't say that. I do still like the sun.
You just want some relief. What's one thing you miss about Finland?
Oh, that's a difficult one. There are a few things that I miss. There's one typical bread from Finland that we don't always have anywhere else, and only in the Nordics, made from rye. But I think that's from the food side. But
it can be bread. That's
yeah, yeah. That's one thing I'm thinking.
And what's one thing that you love about Sicily?
It's kind of the rhythm of life. That's what I love. Because in Finland, it's very, very calm. It's very, I wouldn't say monotonic, but it's very, very steady. And it's not much up and down. So it's very silent and people are in their own spaces, which is very typical for Finnish culture. And obviously, Sicily is complete opposite to this. It's very loud. People are very emotional. People are very enthusiastic about everything. And I love this, that every day is a little bit different. It's always simple casino in Palermo.
Yeah, that's true. There's a different sort of heart rate, isn't it? Like a pulse about Sicily. And I don't know if you've driven in the traffic here, but...
Yeah, I have.
It's
I
an
have.
Experience in itself.
Every day is a survival, I'd say that. But it's always interesting to go on the road. And I love driving. And in any case here, it is something special.
Yeah, it is a special place. So many people love coming here. They've even got flights coming in from New York these days as well, don't they? So a lot of people can get here and see some games. Now let's talk, still on the Finland topic, but let's talk about World Cup qualifiers. And we know that you are one of the linchpins for the Finnish national team. You've got 3 qualifiers to go, I think. You've got the Netherlands, Lithuania, Malta to come. You've already scored twice in the qualifiers. Now, there could be a situation. Obviously, the World Cup is a dream because that would be historic for Finland, yeah?
It would be the first time, obviously. We have only qualified once to the European Championship, which was at the 2020, where we played in multiple destinations. And it was a big dream come true to be part of that team and score a goal as well against Denmark. And it's always been a dream for all the footballers in Finland to be part of something like that and play for a big tournament. And obviously now, after participating already for the Euros, we of course want to take the next step and go to the World Cup. And the start for the campaign was good. Obviously now the last game against Poland was a big disappointment for us. But as you said, there's three games to go and everything in football is possible. Most likely Netherlands will win the group, to be honest. But for the second spot and through there to the playoffs, everything is possible.
Yeah, I mean, you've already beaten Poland once in the group stage. and I guess in third place at the moment.
Yeah, we are 3 points behind Poland.
And three wins would guarantee at least a second place, you'd think.
Poland still also plays Netherlands. Obviously, beating Netherlands for us away in Amsterdam, which will come now in October, will be difficult. But as I said, in football, everything is possible. And Poland showed as well now when they got 1 point in Rotterdam against them that everything is possible when you put everything together and with a bit of luck. But as you said, I would guess with 9 points, if we manage to do that, we will be very close getting that second position.
So also you should mention you scored the first goal for Finland at a major tournament, yeah? That was the one against Denmark? First win for Finland?
First win, and until now the only win and only goal. So,
and how does that make you feel knowing that you've done that, you've accomplished that in your life? Because a lot of fans that are new to Calcio or new to the Finnish national team, they don't really know what it means for a nation like Finland to do that.
Yeah, we are not probably known that much about the football culture in our country worldwide. And at the moment, our under-21s also, they just qualified for the second time in the Euros, and the football is in the rise. And obviously, as I said, it was something that the whole country and all the football fans in Finland, they dreamed of for their whole lives, and then managed to do that. And then even after getting there, not just getting there and participating, but also playing well, winning the first game, and for my personal level, obviously scoring a goal, of course, it's something that you can only dream when you were a little kid.
Hailed as a hero back home, I could imagine, in the newspapers there. And it's now something where if you can get a second place in this group in the World Cup, you could end up playing Italy in some kind of qualifier to get to the World Cup. Now, that would be historic, and you would maybe have to score past Donnarumma to do it.
That would be the perfect way for it. But there's a lot of work to do for us and also for Italy to get this position.
Of course,
and let's see. We will see in November then where we're both standing.
And November is not too far away, so we're going to try and follow Finland's progress as well, not just Italy. Now, Donnarumma is just signed for Manchester City. He wasn't here when Manchester City visited, though. It was the Anglo-Palermitan Trophy. That was back in August. Now, that was a sellout as well at the Renzo Barbera. And since then, there's been two more very, very big crowds at the Barbera. What was it like to play Manchester City with Pep there? And as you mentioned already, you know, Javier Pastore was there and other personalities. What was it like for you?
No, of course, it was incredible to do a game like that. And especially as a last training game before the season ending, the season starting. And obviously having such an important game in front of such a passionate crowd, obviously just pushes you up for the upcoming season. And I think this was also one of the main reasons why we had such a good start for now for the campaign. And obviously it's incredible to play those guys. Obviously they're one of the best teams in the world, and with the best coach in the world, it's of course you can learn a lot from them when you are seeing them so close and playing against them.
It is an epic feeling to welcome one of the biggest clubs in the world here. Obviously, Citigroup have their structure around the world now. Even in Australia, where I'm from, in Melbourne, they've got a club there. So New York, so the fandom is starting to spread. And I guess that sentiment, the Palermo fans, would have been surreal for them to see this coming a couple of years ago before the Citigroup have come in to take over. And I guess now the ambition, would it be to point towards, if you can get to Serie A, would it be to point towards that Manchester City, go uphill towards that sort of stature?
I'm pretty sure that City Group has a big plans for Palermo in the future, in a longer window of like looking into it. But obviously, you can always dream big, but in the end of the day, you need to concentrate on the short term. And it comes to the everyday work, and it comes from week to week, getting those points. And for sure, as I said, the plan is to be as high as possible with Palermo, because the history and what the club has, and what the importance that they have for the Sicilian people, and the facilities and everything that the City Group has provided for the club is on a top level. And but as I said, I think the main key to reach those dreams is obviously concentrate on everyday work and from week to week basics. And then usually when you work like that, you will get at least close to those dreams.
Yeah, step by step, I guess. They call it passo dopo passo here in Italy. And you've broken a few barriers in your career, as we've already mentioned, with Finland, with also clubs. Now, you are kind of a hat-trick hero kind of guy, I've noticed. You've scored hat-tricks at pretty much every club you've been to. And it all started when you were 17. A miraculous hat-trick in like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes.
2 minutes and 42 seconds.
Not that anyone's counting, huh?
No.
But what was it like to start a career? Because that was it your second senior game? You played one the season before to make your debut, and then you started. Did you start that game? Would you come on as a substitute?
No, I started the game, and we were 1-0 behind in our home stadium. It was the first game of the season, and obviously sometimes all the stars they align, and I remember obviously scoring the first two, and right after the second one, I remember them starting obviously the game, and I got the ball quite quickly after that, and I remember just receiving the ball, and I could not see anything else than a goal, and I knew that doesn't matter what I'm going to do or where I'm going to shoot the ball, it's going to go in, as it did. And obviously it's a very historical and great moment for my career, and for sure brought my name to the map around the world because it was broadcasted everywhere at that time. And sometimes in football you always need those little moments and that little bit of luck to make your name and then get the next step in your career.
Well, it was a perfect hat trick. I think the first one was a header, then right boot, then left boot. So you've picked it out. What is it like for football? Do you remember? Do you sit there at night thinking, oh yeah, I've got the clear replay of what's happened in my mind? Because we've seen the referee cam come in now and we can see what the players are doing. It's a lot closer up. Is that something where you have a photographic memory? You remember the goals?
I do have to say, I do remember quite well all my goals throughout my career, but probably not all of them, but most of them, and especially those ones that are very, very important. And in important matches, you do remember them.
Well, you scored so many, it's hard to remember every single one of them. And especially in the last 3 or 4 years here in Italy, where you were capocannoniere as well, of Serie B, you've been up to Serie A and you scored half a dozen goals there before you came to Palermo. And it's a journey that kind of has ebbed and flowed because you started so brilliantly when you were 17. And then I guess every footballer has the ups and downs. And to have a journey like that, what advice do you have for aspiring footballers to be able to deal with great times and then the lows?
Yeah, obviously the start of my career was very good, but obviously I had a very bad injury where I was more than 580 days without playing football. And so obviously in those moments, it's just about not giving up and having the right people next to you can help to come back. And it was a tough journey. And it was actually quite funny because I just published my book in Finland, unfortunately only for the Finnish people in Finnish. But obviously this story is written all there, and people will be really, really enjoying it. And as I said, it was a tough journey, but obviously after coming back from the injury and then reaching the level back to where I was, and even better than that, is of course it's all the thank goes all to the people that was next to me and all those people who trusted me, and still even though all the bad times that they trusted that see he will still score goals, and here we are doing something important together in Palermo.
Yeah, it's been quite a rapid rise since, because everywhere you've been you've scored goals and they seem to come in a hurry. You'll come on as a substitute and next thing there's a hat-trick to your name. And we've seen it in Turkey, we've seen it in Germany, and there was a really good hat-trick. It was a four goal. It was a poker game last season against Sassuolo, I believe.
No, it was just
a hat-trick and an assist. Okay. Yeah. So you've got the hat-trick against Sassuolo. You remember those goals like it's a...
Yeah, I do remember them, obviously, scoring. Obviously, Sassuolo was almost promoted to Serie A already that time, and obviously they were the top of the table and almost an unbeatable team in Serie B last season, and obviously scoring a hat-trick against them, of course, it's a special memory, especially doing it in front of our home ground.
Yeah, and I guess you're planning to be where Sassuolo is now. And look, playing against the best team in the competition and doing that is an extraordinary feat. You scored hat tricks at Fortuna Düsseldorf. You got four goals in 30 minutes over two matches at Bayer Leverkusen. So it feels like you come on, and you make a big impact. But now we're seeing it from the first minute of the game, and I guess that's something you were working on for years to sort of get to that.
Yeah, obviously, especially when you're a little younger and you play for a club like Leverkusen, you have some big names in front of you in the hierarchy. Obviously, I had Chicharito was the number one for Leverkusen at that time, and behind him was Stefan Kiesling and Kevin Volland, and then was me as a fourth striker when I was young. So obviously, you need to work yourself out of it and use those minutes that the club is giving to you in the best way possible, because nobody's giving it to you free in a silver platter. You have to work for it, and when you get your chance, you have to grab it.
Yeah. and a hat-trick against Sampdoria. I remember that one, a little backheel goal flick in. That was a sensational one. You've also scored twice in a game for Finland. So I guess the next step is try and get a hat-trick for Finland to get them into the World Cup at some point. So just about your journey in Italy itself, I'm experiencing what will never happen again. That's what you said about Venice. So about Palermo, is there something you've already learned about the city? The experience in Venice is obviously surreal because there's bridges, there's a lagoon, but Palermo has the Mediterranean Sea. Is it something that is extra special as well, like that?
Yeah, of course, obviously, I have the privilege to live in a very unique places in the world. And obviously, Venice, as you said, with all the bridges and canals and those streets and surreal beauty of the city, of course, is something very unique. And same thing in Palermo. It's very unique in a different way. So you live next to the Mediterranean with unbelievable cuisine. And obviously, as I said, the people is the one that makes Palermo special, and meeting the people in the streets. And they are so enthusiastic and fanatic about the club, and every day when you leave here from Torretta, you have people standing in front of the gates to ask pictures, and in the games having 30,000 people obviously coming and cheering. And even though I have played in a much bigger stadium than Barbera, the atmosphere that you get in Barbera is something that I have never witnessed anywhere before, and it is obviously, as a professional footballer, it's incredible to experience.
Yeah, because it feels like you're a man of the people. In Venice, I read that you said to another journalist that you could walk the streets and say hello to people. We've seen you during games go over and kind of high five and grab a beverage of sorts and really be sociable with people. And it feels like you try and create a connection with them. Is that something you can do in Palermo, where you can walk the streets and people... do you get mobbed at all?
don't get mobbed, but of course, as I said, people are a bit more enthusiastic in Palermo. And let's say that with the blonde hair as a man in Sicily, it's probably not the most common hair color, so it's kind of lights off.
Are they calling you ubiuno? Is that the terminology in Sicilian?
I think so, something towards that, yeah. But no, it's always been the encounters that I have with the people, and especially with the kids, and being an example for them, and to make them dream also becoming a Palermo player is something, obviously, that as a small kid and as a footballer, it's obviously those positions, those are what we play football for. Of course, in Venice, the stadium was much more smaller. And obviously, the people were even closer than in Barbera, without the glass walls that we have in our stadium. So it's a bit more difficult to get the very close connection to the fans in the stadium. But here in the streets, it's still different than in Venice. It's all the people and the fans that I encounter on my walks to the garage or when I'm going for dinner. It's always special.
So you can go out in the morning and get your morning cafe. Is that where you're?
I still do the same thing. I was in Venice. I always walked when I walked to the garage. I did the same thing, and here is the same. I always go with my wife and our daughter to the same coffee place, have our morning espresso, and quickly have a quick chat for 15 minutes about what's happening today, and then I leave the garage. And these days I have to drive Joran into training because he has no driver's license, but hopefully one day he will have one.
Well, is it something where you get a coffee, because you're in very good shape, you're a peak athlete? Do you go for the cornetto as well in the morning, or do you leave it alone?
No, usually not. But sometimes the day before the game, it's nice to have that little extra kick. But usually, unfortunately, I have to watch out what I eat. I don't have that. I don't have those genes anymore.
Yeah. Well, is it something they do in Finland? They have a similar system where you go for a coffee and something sweet in the morning?
No, it's more Italian thing, the Italian breakfast. In Finland, it's a bit more salty, and let's say it's a bit more nutritional.
Okay, a better diet, I guess, for the long term, and that's good to know. I'm planning to go to Finland at some point, but so is there something you want to say in Finnish to the fans around the world? There'll be Finnish people living in the UK, in the US. Is there something you can tell them to watch Palermo, get involved more, follow their national team striker around?
No, of course, it's all the Finnish people around the world. Obviously, I'm hoping that they watch our games and they support our national team. Obviously, that's the main key for us. And it's always been a big strength for our national team that we have a very good fan base behind us. And the amount of away fans that we have, and not only at home, it's something unique also for a national team, especially for a national team from such a small country. And I hope that all those people, when we are visiting them or when we are playing in England, in the Wembley, or now in Holland or wherever we go, that they will find themselves to the stadium and support us.
Great. And because Palermo has a goal scorer and a goal stopper now from Finland.
This was a very working concept in Venice, so that's the reason we brought it here.
What works? Transpose it, make it successful here in Palermo to go up to Paradiso or Serie A. So I guess that's something that a lot of people wouldn't have done, because Jesse Jorunen signed late in the transfer window as well. And now you two are also, you've got some business relations back in Finland.
Yeah, not only business relations, but we are best friends to each other. And obviously he was my best man in my wedding, our wedding. And obviously he's a very great guy, not just a great player, but obviously when we enter the pitch, it's purely professional. And obviously he's a goalkeeper, I'm a striker, and it gets very loud. But obviously then when we enter the locker room, then it's forgotten. But when we go to the pitch, then it's purely work.
And in training, penalties, can he stop you, or does he let them in on purpose because you're his best friend? Or do you go light on him?
He is very good in penalties, especially obviously he knows me very well, so he's very good at reading me. But usually I try to take a piss out of him and do something that I would never do in a game, so then he gets quite mad at me.
You can get creative, yeah. Take the mickey out of him. So I guess that's something that friends can do, and I guess you've got that professional level as well, so you switch between the personalities.
Yeah, no, he definitely switches. He has two personalities, completely different. I'm a bit more similar outside and inside the pitch, but there's two yeses.
Well, they say goalkeepers are crazy.
Yeah, you know, you need to be nuts being in a goalkeeper. I give you that, obviously. Then going there and jumping into an X when I'm coming to shoot, you can't be completely mentally healthy to do that.
Good to know. I remember, we all remember Sebastiano Rossi, who was probably the craziest goalkeeper we've ever seen on a pitch for Milan in the 90s. So the history is there, and I guess that's a common trait. Okay, we'll finish up with your favourite goal for Finland. Describe it.
My favourite goal for Finland, yeah.
Because you scored 18,
goals I have scored, yes. Obviously, from the position-wise, of course, the goal I scored in the Euros would be the bomb, but if I would say the most memorable one, if you take that off, because it's quite an obvious choice, I would say I once scored an incredible header against Kazakhstan at home. I remember Uronen, who actually played in the MLS a while back, he made a perfect cross and like absolutely outrageous header to the top corner. Somebody can check it out on YouTube. Home against Kazakhstan, I don't remember. It was after the Euro, so it must be 2021.
Okay. All right, that's a good one.
September window or something like that.
Do you ever commentate to yourself like afterwards, like, because you hear the Italian commentators are crazy, but the English ones, and I'm not sure what the Finnish ones are like, but do you have any commentary words for yourself at times?
Not really, to be fair. No, I don't.
You're the player. That's it. You stay in your lane. Okay. Yeah. You create the manicomio for the commentators to talk about. So, and your favorite goal for Palermo, and describe it.
Favorite goal for Palermo. Let me think. I would say now the latest one against Sutiro.
The left footer,
just in purely how it was made. And for those people who know about football, I'm very surprised of my first touch, because that was something.
Okay.
Doing that first touch after playing 80 minutes or whatever it was, sprinting 80 meters only the other end with a perfect pass, of course, from Palumbo, but the first touch, the weight behind it, to make it in a way that it's easy to put it in with the left is actually, it's my favorite goal. The other one would have maybe been the one from the ground against Sassuolo. It was one of the most strangest goals I ever scored, but yes. Purely when it comes to quality and something that those people who understand football, they know exactly how hard it is to do in that moment with your pulse 180. That's my favorite goal.
And with Serie B being such a competitive league, do you find that the difference in what they will say are the bottom teams, there's so much tenacity, a lot of the players have a lot of things to prove. Do you find that?
It's for sure one of the most difficult leagues, obviously, when you can put all the teams together to manage to get points. Obviously, it's the teams are very good at defending, and especially when you're playing away, even the small teams, they are very good structure, and they are very as you can see, obviously, Südtirol is not a huge club with a very, very small budget, but they haven't lost until now. They lost the first game inside of this calendar year. It just shows how difficult it is sometimes in Serie B. And this is something that all the teams, especially us, we need to concentrate on week to week, that there will never be an easy game. That when you go to the pitch, it's the same thing. If you're playing against the top teams or the bottom teams, you still have to get the points and there will be no easy days.
Well, it took some Uwe Kingel magic to break them down. First goal, second goal on the left boot. Beautiful to watch. We've got the highlights on Destination Culture TV as well. Okay, we'll wrap it up there. I'm going to surprise you and say, Huvestit Palermosta.
Huvestit Palermosta.
Oh, Huvestit Palermosta. Is that better? And Kitos.
Kitos. Kitos, yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joel.